This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Crazy night of ACC basketball, needless to say.
That'd be a word.
Again.
Yeah.
Again, grab your popcorn. The next couple weeks are going to be more of the same. Our first guest today, if you watched yesterday's show, you'll go, hey, I remember her. Lauren Brownlow is back, and I don't.
This is precedent setting. Did you not say this?
I just said that during the break.
Yeah.
That I'm not sure we've ever had back-to-back shows with a guest, and so Lauren is back in Raleigh after experiencing NC State, North Carolina again. And Lauren, one of the questions we asked you yesterday was: fast forward the clock to today, an NC State win. North Carolina win? I mean, how is this thing going to play in the Raleigh-Durham-Chapel Hill area now that we know the verdict that North Carolina just continues to have NC State's number?
Yeah, I mean, I think in what's obviously a bad season all the way around for North Carolina, the vibe I get is largely just North Carolina fans sort of laughing, like, oh, well, at least in this terrible year, we continue to own NC State for whatever reason. Whereas State fans are kind of like, well, I don't know what I expected. You know, I mean, that's just the general kind of attitude is just one of, I guess, of like resignation and a little bit of disappointment and anger. And I do get all of those feelings from the NC State perspective. Looking at these two teams and watching them all year, I didn't think that North Carolina had any business sweeping NC State. And yet here we sit, and that's exactly what happened. And so I understand State fans' frustration. Roy Williams, I think, is 37-4 against NC State now. And when somebody asked him last night, you know, what's the secret? He was like, if I knew, I'd be 37-4 against everybody. But I think we all know that he puts a little bit more and a little bit extra into that game. And North Carolina, look, they've had moments where they played as well as they did last night. They just weren't able to close out in a lot of other games. And they were able to get it done last night. I don't think NC State was horrible or anything. It's just Carolina played a pretty good game and was just able to put it together.
But, Lauren, you've seen enough of these. You know that Carolina's been close, just had nothing to show for it. So I'm just curious from the standpoint, now that they've kind of crossed that bridge, can they go do it again? You know, Syracuse on Saturday, whatever the case may be. I mean, obviously they don't want to finish 15th. They're going to have a chance to write that next week against Wake Forest. I mean, how does all this look for Carolina based on what happened last night? But also remembering, gee whiz, we couldn't get it done in the seven games between NC State.
Right, and I think that's why certainly at least fans aren't putting too much stock into this. I think there was some optimism with Cole Anthony back. Maybe they could make some kind of run. Maybe they can make something happen. Obviously, they lose seven in a row. Like, that's not what happened. But, I mean, I think that for the players, they just feel this sense of relief, and they just want to keep positive momentum going. That was the sense I got. Usually after NC State Carolina games, you know, the players will talk a lot about NC State and what the game itself was like. But I just sensed so much relief in that locker room last night of finally we won a game. Like, it's just like a weight lifted off of them. And yeah, they could potentially turn it into something. But I think that we have said this a lot this season. And even in the last month or so, whenever Carolina has shown some positive signs, we go, okay, well, maybe now it's time that they're going to put it all together and string something positive together. And they might, but I don't know that we know that or that we have a lot of evidence that that's going to happen. And I'll say this, by the way, Wake Forest, North Carolina is not necessarily for last place, because even if North Carolina is to beat Wake Forest, mm-hmm. Wake has the tiebreaker.
Right.
So, yeah.
Speaking of Wake Forest, yeah. I don't think any of us, even as of yesterday, much less even this morning, or rubbing your eyes going, wait a minute, that's 113 against Coach K last night. I know it was a double overtime game, but hey, you're down 9 with a buck 21 to go. That was a ridiculously great win for Danny Manning last night. And it really does hurt Duke's conversation in terms of maybe winning out and becoming a one seed overall.
Yeah, and I mean, look, obviously North Carolina and Wake, in terms of what they currently are, aren't all that far apart, right? But I was just really having a hard time last night processing the fact that Duke comes back from a 13-point deficit late at North Carolina. They were down 10 with 2:06 to go. They overcome that to win the game. And then they blow a 12-point lead at Wake Forest in the second half. Like, I just don't understand the season of college basketball. But yeah, It definitely, I think Duke has had a few games here recently where they've looked really, really good. And then if you throw that Florida State game into the mix in terms of being a really impressive win, that's another one. But I also think during this recent stretch, even when they were winning a bunch of games in a row, you could certainly look at the way they had won some of those games and find things to pick out that hadn't looked all that pretty or hadn't gone as well for Duke as maybe some of those blowout wins had. So there was, I think, already a little bit of cause for concern, but I don't think you expect to see a Duke team, for instance, go to NC State and get out toughed the way that they were in that game. That's not a thing you expect to see. And you certainly don't expect them to see them lose a double-digit second-half lead at the last place or tied for last place or whatever you want to say, team in the ACC. That's something you expect to see from Duke. And I don't know what it means for them going forward. I think they are a little bit more limited offensively than some of the recent Duke teams. But at the same time, they're playing in this year's college basketball, right? So I think that does change things at least a little bit for them. And if they can make sure that they get back to their defensive identity being kind of a defensive team first, I think that they'll still have a chance to do whatever they want to do, because we have to compare them against the field in this year's college basketball as opposed to maybe past Duke teams.
So who's the biggest winner last night in the ACC?
I mean, that's easy.
Wake Forest?
Florida State.
Florida State, yeah. The biggest winner last night?
Well, that's actually probably accurate. Yeah, Florida State, because it does set up to sort of give them a chance, and they don't have the head-to-head with Duke, whereas Louisville did, so it seemed a little likelier that Louisville was in the driver's seat. But I think with what Florida State has left, and maybe even considering what Duke has left, because certainly Saturday is not going to be a gimme for Duke going to Virginia as well as Virginia's been playing. So that opens the door potentially for Florida State to get back in that driver's seat and to win the regular season, which would be huge for them.
Lauren, we played the clip of Roy, who finally should have something to smile about, going to a press conference with a W at the end.
Yeah.
What was it? Was it a student that asked the question where he kind of gave the answer at the end? You think so? We don't know.
I think it was. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was a student reporter because he told him to stay in school. So I'm assuming it was a college student. Yeah, it was kind of a weird night. I think some of us maybe expected Roy to be and he was happier, for sure. But it was just this weird sense of, I think I touched on it with the players too, of just like, finally, geez, like, we gotta win. And also, I know it was past my bedtime, so my assumption is that it was probably past Roy's as well. So that maybe made him a little on the crankier side in terms of, not wanting to get sort of, and it's weird though, because whenever he's asked to talk about the state rivalry, usually it's not a huge issue for him to say like, look, that's a team that I view as a primary rival, because he does view them as a primary rival, but I don't think he wanted to take the bait and say anything that could possibly be misconstrued as not taking NC State seriously, because some people do look at his record against State and say, well, what rivalry, because of how dominant he's been. But Roy Williams himself would never ever say that.
Isn't it amazing? And you live it because you're right there in the backyard, but I kind of kidded around with Wes in the first hour of the show. The emotion of an NC State fan in the course of a week. I mean, a week ago, they're taking Duke to the woodshed, kind of solidified maybe a spot on the right side of the bubble, played great. The anticipation of the Florida State game coming up, which they played well in the first half, let that thing get away from them a little bit in the second half. And then, here's North Carolina again. I mean, the highs and lows of just being a State fan in a span of 1 week is just crazy. And I know other fans are going, yeah, it happens to us too. It just seems like NC State goes to the roller coaster at all times.
Well, and last night, as Carolina goes up 10 or so late in the second half, you start to think, okay, well, Carolina's done this before, and they've lost plenty of these this year. Are they going to do it again? And they started, State sort of started to claw back. I think they got it to within four a couple times late in that game. And you started to go, okay, what's the more powerful force here? North Carolina versus NC State, or North Carolina 2020 version where they cannot possibly hold on to a late lead. And in the end of the day, the NC State side of things won out, or lost, however you want to semantically phrase that. That was the more powerful force in the universe, I guess, that force of whatever it is when they play against North Carolina, or like you said, just sort of a larger heartbreak issue. They certainly have not had a lot of sympathy for North Carolina fans this year in terms of some of their close losses and blown leads and whatnot, because they've dealt with that for the last 20 plus years. So they don't feel a lot of sympathy for North Carolina fans for having one season where everything goes against them. And yeah, this was just sort of par for the course, I feel like, of what they've been dealing with for the last 20 years. And then the frustration of just not getting over the hump against this team. It's like you said, they play really well against Duke. They're able to beat Duke, but it's just not, for whatever reason, it's just not happening against North Carolina.
Well, there are two things that come into play off last night if you're an NC State fan. Number one is I didn't do the game and they lost, so that possibly can't be my fault.
See?
And number two is this. Markell Johnson played good last night. Markell Johnson was pretty steady all night long for Kevin Keats, and that did not translate to a Wolfpack win because, Lauren, as you know, if Markell is rolling, typically NC State is. I'm not saying that's a deal that's going to counter all the things they have remaining in front of them. Here's the good part. Yeah, they go to Duke, but they've also got Pitt and Wake at home. All is not lost for NC State. They just need to find ways to win the games they should win, right?
I think you're probably right, but I do think what last night does is sort of ensure that they need to have some success in the ACC tournament. What that means exactly, I don't know, but I think that they certainly can't afford now to maybe even lose on day two of the ACC tournament, depending on when they play. I think they need to make a little bit of noise in the ACC tournament now, assuming that they take care of business, like you said, at home against Pitt and Wake Forest. And I think we would assume on paper that they lose at Duke, although if they win that game, that I think cancels out this result too. So I think that that's something where they just have lost a little bit of insurance. If they had won either Florida State or last night, I think they feel a little bit better about where they are. But now I think they need to win. They have to win. Well, they do have to win those games against Pitt and Wake at home. And if they could beat Duke, that would certainly give them a little bit of breathing room going into the ACC tournament that they would not have otherwise.
By the way, right in front of the Wolfpack is Lauren's secret crush, Pack. Are you familiar with this?
No, I am not.
Lauren Brownlow has, even though she went to Venerable Ragsdale High School in outside of Greensboro, Lauren has a small affinity for Notre Dame.
Oh, yeah.
Is that fair? Yes. That's fair, right?
Oh, yes. I love the way Mike Bray teams play offense. I really enjoy watching them play basketball. They've had some really fun groups in the last few years, and that's been one of my favorite teams to watch outside the Triangle. I love watching them play, and it's nice to see them getting back to looking a little bit closer to what they had been in, you know, the past years here, because it was a little tougher to watch last year. But they're really putting it together. They're playing pretty well. They're playing about as well as anybody.
By the way, you going for the trifecta tomorrow? What time makes sense for you?
Man, y'all let me know.
The hat trick on Packer and Durham? Is that what?
I mean, Lauren's breaking bread here. I mean, nobody's going back to back. I mean, might as well see if you can get three in a row. It's like Jeopardy. You keep winning the Jeopardy, you keep coming back the next show.
There you go. All right, Brownlow, thank you. Great job.
Thanks, y'all.
All right, have a great day. Lauren Brownlow from WRELSportsFan.com, 99.9 The Fan, and the Raleigh-Durham Market.
Be sure to give Stella a treat.
Yeah. When you get home, get Stella taken care of.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
There were so many crazy games last night. There were only three being played, but I mean, it just seemed like there was something going on everywhere you looked.
Mm-hmm.
But the one we really did not expect was Wake Forest, right? I mean, the Deacs only lose 90-59 to Duke the first time they saw them. That's right, 90-59 in a game that wasn't even that close. And the Blue Devils had beaten them 11 straight. Looked like they had kind of turned it around after stumbling to NC State, destroyed Virginia Tech over the weekend. You just kind of assumed, again, I'm always in trouble when you assume, but you just kind of assumed, you know what, Duke's going to do what they do. They go to Wake, they win, they're on a run, it's getting ready to be March, it's Duke time. But that did not happen last night.
Ends up being a pretty interesting night in the Big Four for sure. Deacs get 113 points in double overtime, by the way, in the third multi-overtime game in the ACC this year, and the first not involving Virginia Tech, by the way. And the Wake also becomes, of the overtime games, one of the rare teams playing at home to win in overtime in ACC play. Usually it's been dominated by the road team, and you saw that the Deacs, they got a little from everybody. Brandon Childress is scoring. Is going to be the story late, and he's the story period in the double overtime. But early on, guys like Olivier Saar, I thought Shaundi Brown was tremendous for them last night, Mark. I mean, there was a lot to go around if you're Danny Manning today breaking apart film.
And if you were watching the game and you turn it off with a minute and a half to go, Duke's up 9, we're good. What else is on?
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to bed. Or whatever your deal was. Surprise. Deke's down 9 with a buck 21 to go.
Exactly.
And just made plays. It was just kind of like, is this really happening? Mm-hmm. And we've seen, again, I go back to that Duke-North Carolina game where it was almost in reverse here, where you're like, hey, I know there's no way Duke can come back and get this thing in overtime, can they? Well, they did in Chapel Hill. Well, last night it was the same thing. There's no way Wake can get this thing in overtime, can they? Well, sure enough, here's the shot.
Look at that thing.
Bonus time. Let's go play some more. It was a wild night in Winston-Salem.
Yeah. Well, for all the things that happened leading up to overtime last night and then the double overtime itself, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, this game will be about Brandon Childress. You're asking a senior guard to take a big shot to get the game to the extra session last night, and then after the ball game, he's completely overcome with emotion with Katie George.
You hit that three.
I'm sorry, but when you go through what I've been through throughout my process here at Wake Forest, nobody believed in me. Nobody believed I could play in this conference. I had people, locals, friends, even family members telling me I wasn't good enough to play this level. But Coach Manny, Coach Newberry, Coach Rex, my father, Coach Hall, Joe Byrne, all those guys believed in me, my teammates, they believed in me. Nobody else believed in me than them. And I did everything for them. I was awful, whatever, the first going into the overtime. They told me nothing but stay aggressive. My time would come. And here I am, sitting here, storming the court. First time we ever beat Duke here in my career. And you can see it. Remember the recognition I'm getting from my teammates right now. This is all. But God, I can't thank him enough for this opportunity. I'm truly grateful for this.
Brandon, you beat UNC for the first time in your career here at Wake Forest, and now you've beaten Duke, the number 7 team in the country. What does that mean?
It means so much, man. Like I said before, it's nothing but the man above. He put me here in this position. I pray every night. I get up 5:30 every morning, get in the gym. I'm satisfied with the shots I shot tonight. It might not have been a great percentage, but I can't complain. I want y'all to get a good look at the scoreboard. That's number 5. We had 4 great practices leading up to this game. I can't thank my teammates enough for this opportunity and my coaches. One thing about Duke, that's a hell of a program. Nolan Smith, Mike Krzyzewski, the rest of the players on that team. Trey Jones, a hell of a player. It's the reason why he's on the Wooden Award list. Shout out to those guys. They came out. You know, they put the pressure on me early. You know, it was a battle. That's all we had to do was fight. And I felt like we won the fight tonight. And there was a big difference from the team we played in the first time to the team today. We can celebrate this now, but we got to work on and continue this momentum into Saturday instead of rest of the ACC play.
Congratulations, Brandon Dave.
Thank you so much.
A couple things, and then watching that last night was, I mean, that's college sports, man. That's why we love watching sports, right?
Yep.
That was nothing but pure joy.
Yep.
Fans, players, coaches, even the coveted invite. And hey, when you got dudes walking around with Fat Tuesday beads on, you know it's time to party. It's time to go to the Moravian Sugar Cake, man. Those folks are having a good time in Winston-Salem last night. You know when you see dudes walking around with Fat Tuesday beads, Wes, it's go time. That was a great win, though, for Wake. I mean, that you're talking about giving up for dead. 9 down, buck 21 to go. That dude hadn't made a shot yet. Couldn't beat me in a game of horse for 39 minutes. And then he just said, superstar, man, let's go.
Going to Dewey's down there on Cherry and Marshall. Is that where you're headed?
Up on some eclairs. By the way, you mentioned, speaking of French,
Olivier Sarr coming up on this show.
He's coming up
in this hour.
You know what? I wonder if he slept last night.
Well, Brandon got up at 5:30.
Well, I know that. But
there's no chance he got up at 5:30.
I bet the quad's looking good in Winston-Salem today.
Oh, I bet the quad is looking good.
Yep.
Look. It's not been easy for Wake Forest.
No, it hasn't.
But they have a couple wins this year. You know, beating Carolina.
Look, always matters.
Always matters, mm-hmm. Right?
Yep.
Beating Duke really matters.
You saw that last night.
Because you can put it on, I think, one hand, the number of wins they've had against Duke since 1997.
It's not been good.
Right. So I know Duke matters. I know Carolina matters.
You remember last year they had a chance to beat Duke and Durham, and that ball,
Shawnee Brown's layup.
I still don't know how that ball didn't go in.
Right.
And it didn't. And Wake's had some chances, right? They've had some shots. But hey, when somebody wears you out 90 to 59 or whatever it was, I think the score was.
Right.
You know what? You can't remember those. And all of a sudden, man, there was just no quit in the Deeks last night, which to me is a sign that Danny has those guys still dialed in.
And that's the thing here. And I want to spend a moment on Danny Manning, okay? First of all, he's a good guy. That's number one. Number two, it's not easy being the head basketball coach at Wake Forest. It's not easy being the head football coach at Wake Forest. Because, and that's your location and your neighborhood. Because your neighborhood, the comparative study is Chapel Hill, Durham, and Raleigh.
Yeah, the water cooler test, you know what?
Oh, it's hard on Monday mornings.
Oh, you better believe it is.
You're the smaller school. I know how it works over there. But you know what? The patience may pay off here. Have they had the best luck? Absolutely not. Did they have some guys make some selfish decisions on basketball? Yes, they did. I mean, if Brian Crawford had a chance to do it again, if Darrell Moore had a chance to do it again, I don't know. That's neither here nor there. But the thing about it is they got one and done with Jalen Horde, but Olivier Saar is a big man with tons of potential. Brandon Childress, and we had him on the show, and he spoke eloquently and emotionally, I thought, about the relationship with playing with his dad as an assistant coach, or an associate head coach is the actual title. The patience could pay off here for Wake Forest. That's a young team that was on the floor last night, Pac, with the exception of Childress.
They have also given us spikes of when they're on, they're pretty good. When they're on. The problem is they haven't been on consistently enough. But when they got on the roll at the end of that game last night, they had the momentum. I mean, Duke was the one having to respond to Wake in the overtimes. And I'm sure Kay will get out of bed today and go, man, how in the world did we lose that game? But you know, you get some that go your way, you get some that go against you. And it's part of the deal.
Let me ask you this. The concern you would have for Duke this morning is what?
The lapse at NC State, I thought, was the wake-up call. And it was because the Razor focus against Virginia Tech, they were phenomenal against Virginia Tech, and you knew they would be. I just thought that would continue as, hey, we learned a lesson on the road, not being ready to go for NC State. And I go back to that Boston College game a couple times where they were not ready to go that night either, but found a way to win the game. Mm-hmm. You know, they got off to a slow start in BC and all that stuff. You know, so on their road performances, quite frankly, lately have just been so-so for a team that you expect to be a one, a two, or a three seed in the NCAA tournament. So that is my concern for Duke moving forward. And now, hey, here comes Virginia on the road.
Right.
Charlottesville. And you know, as excited as Wake Forest was to beat Duke, you know the folks in Charlottesville can't wait to see the Blue Devils come to town.
I think it's also going to be interesting, by the way, to watch kind of how this unfolds for Duke, given Virginia Saturday, NC State at home, and Carolina, and then into the postseason. Because last night was not the first night that Vernon Carey has gotten into foul trouble. And by the way, I thought the most serviceable reserve last night behind Vernon Carey was Justin Robinson.
He was good.
And he's been good, right? So, you know, we'll see how this goes here. Look, there is a concern about if Vernon Carey gets in foul trouble, what do they become inside?
Yeah, I mean, that's a legit concern. And, you know, the performance is on the road. I don't worry about Duke at home.
Yeah.
Now, I know Louisville got them. SFA got them. But, you know, when they come down the stretch, they'll be okay at home. But that game coming up this weekend in Charlottesville is going to be a good one.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
The parade of big starts now, by the way.
No doubt. Let's go down to Tallahassee and bring on Malik Osborne.
Your feet up last night, don't you think?
This is where I want to go with you, Malik. Now, you and I have not ever had a conversation. You might have had it with Wes because he does a bunch of games. But seriously, last night, Wake Forest is beating Duke in double overtime, puts 113 on them. You had to be looking around the room if you watched the game and say, guess what, man? We're in first place. Did that ever cross your mind last night?
At one point it did, but then I had to come back to reality and realize that, you know, we got to finish out. We got to do our job. You know, we got to take it one game at a time, and that's Clemson on Saturday at home.
All right, listen, that Leonard Hamilton has schooled you up.
I got to tell you what, that right there is why that's Malik Osborne and you're some nagging host.
I'm not a nagging host. I'm just some dude in the basement with a nagging host. But, man, that had to feel sweet, though, right? I mean, I know, like you said, back to reality. Reality is you guys now, it is yours to lose. You are the team. Mm-hmm. You went out. You are winning the ACC regular season.
Yes, sir. I mean, it's a great feeling. I mean, just being able to be in this position. I mean, the guys earned it. We've been putting the work in the offseason and putting the work during the regular season. So now it's just about just finishing the job out. But, I mean, the mentality still stays the same. You know, one game at a time. Clemson is a great team. Mm-hmm. They're a great team at home especially. And it's all about just focusing on them and trying to, you know, finish out the regular season.
You know, I told Coach Jones and Coach Hamilton on Saturday morning when I was watching you guys shoot before the ball game at NC State, I've always felt like you have the most interesting perspective on this particular team because you watched last year's team as a transfer, right? I mean, you were, mm-hmm. you're part of the team. You're going through workouts. You know what the elements and kind of the pillars are. But Malik, now to be a part of this team, what did you learn a year ago that has helped you the most this year and this season of success?
I would say just about mindset. You know, you can't get caught up with being in the two highs and the two lows. It's all about being consistent. I learned that the consistent team is what wins the games, you know. And so when you get, when you have a big win, you enjoy it for 24 hours and then you move on to the next. And even if you have a loss, you learn from it for 24 hours and then you move on to the next one. It's all about being consistent and staying in that fresh mindset going forward because that will help you in success later on in the season.
So who's the most important impact on Malik Osborne, the Florida State player? Who on that roster influenced you the most last year? And maybe it's the same person this year. I don't know.
I would say Trent. Trent is I always saw him as a leader coming in as a redshirt, and I still see him as a leader now. I mean, he's the leader of this team. He just keeps us all together. He keeps the new guys together. He even keeps the returners together. He stays in a very calm state majority of the time. So when it's always easy to listen to him, it's always easy to follow his command because, you know, he's a veteran, all-time winningest player in Florida State history. I mean, he's our guy. He's the guy that just, you know, keeps this whole team just intact.
All right. Speaking of Trent Forrest, we have probably played his dunk against Louisville a half dozen times. All right.
He's already laughing.
I know you're already laughing. The dunk was one thing, but watching the bench was almost as entertaining as the dunk. If you can go back to your memory bank, because I know you're looking forward to Clemson. And that incredible mm-hmm. effort by the team, especially in the second half. But the dunk by Forrest, just kind of give us some behind-the-scenes action, locker room, maybe post-game about the dunk. Bam, right there. How about that one?
I mean, that dunk was electrifying. Knowing Trent, I like to say he has sneaky bounce. You know, there's a lot of plays where I know he could dunk it, but he finishes with a layup. And then, I mean, he just kind of baited him into thinking he was going to lay it up and dunked it. And when he did that, I mean, it was already an intense game. We were coming back. We were at home. And we knew it was a big, big matchup game. So when the dunk happened, I mean, we all just completely lost our minds. It just shows the culture of this team. It's a brotherhood. So once we see one of our brothers doing well, it's almost like we did it. I mean, it was crazy. It was one of the best dunks I've ever seen. And I mean, seeing that it happened with one of my boys, one of my brothers. I mean, I can't even describe the feeling. It was just madness.
All right. Follow up to that, Malik, would be this. Who on the bench had to be restrained the most? Because I think your boy Justin Lindner started out on the floor, it looked like.
I think you're right. Justin, I mean, he's really big with the celebrations. As soon as the dunk happened, I mean, I lost my mind, but then I saw Justin almost about to guard the inbounder, so we had to pull him back and was like, hey, the game's not over yet. It was a crazy dunk, but the game is not over yet. So we had to restrain him, and then everybody else kind of fell suit.
Malik, I tell you what, that second half effort, though, on the defensive end, that's as good as I've seen any team play for 20 minutes this year. I mean, the crowd was into it. You guys obviously were down 11 to a really good Louisville team. the way you responded, I mean, it got to the point where I just didn't know if Louisville can make a pass, much less make a shot. You guys really just feasted off one another, the crowd, the energy. I mean, it was an incredible performance.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the coaches stressed us a lot that our defense is always controlled by us. It's always is effort. I mean, shots going in, I mean, that'll happen. So there'll be some nights where shots go in. There'll be some nights where shots don't go in. But the defense can always be consistent. We can always control that. And we knew that the first half wasn't really our best, but we knew that we could capitalize on the second half. And then as soon as we started turning up the defensive end on the second half, leading to easy transition buckets, and the crowd got into it, I mean, we all bought into it. I mean, from on the court to the coaching staff to even on the bench, I mean, we all kept reminding us that our defense is what's going to help us win games. And that's the mindset we had at the beginning of the season. That's the mindset we'll have until the end of the season.
Everybody talks about the way you guys have played at home. But the venue itself, I mean, the other night sounded as loud as I've heard the Tucker Center in a long, long time. Have you guys turned it into a kind of a house of horrors for the visitors?
I would say so. I mean, the transition from Florida State and the basketball program, I mean, it's been on the rise. And so with our constant success and us playing well and, I mean, having other teams that are also playing well and just having big matchups and us, you know, making the game exciting and playing to our best, I mean, that, like you said, that was the loudest I've ever heard the Tuck Center ever. I mean, even in my redshirt year, I mean, it's been loud. There's been games like Virginia Tech on senior night where it was close and it was really loud. But that moment was probably, I mean, the loudest I've ever heard. I mean, just from us coming back to the highlight plays that were made, I mean, it's the culture that we have created here. And, I mean, I don't see it going down. I see it just keep rising at this point.
Malik, you mentioned the defense, and it's really been the calling card for Leonard Hamilton's program. We saw it in full display against Louisville in the second half. When you guys practice, especially late in February, do you get after it on the defensive end, or does Coach kind of call you guys off a little bit, trying to keep your legs fresh because you know what's coming up in March? Just curious what the mindset is from a coach and a player's perspective for a team that plays such great defense. Because, you know, hey, a bunch of dudes want to go out there and shoot and dunk, right? But you got to want to on the defensive side. So a practice with Leonard Hamilton late in February is like what?
Oh, I mean, it's offensive scouting, but it's also just defense. We work on defense a lot. We try to lock in on defense because we know if we're locked in on defense, then the offense will just take care of itself. February practice, late March practice, it's also about just like keeping our bodies fresh and being healthy going into the postseason. But defense has always been the mindset. It always has been the mindset for Coach Ham, and I don't see it changing. But we love it here. We call it junkyard dog defense, and that's what it's like. We try to be junkyard dogs and get after it no matter what, no matter where we're at. If we're at home, we're getting after it. If we're on the road, we're getting after it. But it's all about everybody firing on all cylinders, everybody buying in, and everybody wanting to play defense, because if you want to play defense, then everything else will take care of itself.
We always enjoy our visits with Coach Hamilton. I'm impressed, even like Saturday morning, watching you guys get ready for the NC State game, with kind of the silo effect of he and his coaching staff. And I think that CY and Smitty and Coach Jones, obviously, have two of those guys been with him a long time. Coach Jones been with him for years and years and years. How important is the team coaching that goes on there? Because that's one of the things I think that a lot of people don't realize is how good quality coaching staff he's got and all the things. I mean, beyond recruiting, Malik, it's about the installation of game plans and things like that. How valuable is that to you guys, especially in this part of the season?
Oh, man, it's really valuable because, I mean, emotions are high. You know, you're getting closer to the postseason. You're getting closer to ACC tournament, you're getting closer to March Madness, and you know, everybody's mind can be going everywhere, but our coaching staff, I think, is one of the best in the country. I mean, they're so efficient when it comes to having a team down and their tendencies as to just player management, just being able to read players and their feelings and being just taking the time out just to talk to them and see if they're okay. You know, there'll be some times where we'll be shooting around before practice and I'll have somebody like Coach CY or Coach Smith or even Coach Jones just coming up to me and just asking me, how was I doing? How's my day going? And just taking the time to like just get to know me instead of just being my coach on the court. They talk to us on and off the court, and I, I think that just is so undervalued, and they should get more respect and appreciation for it, because a lot of coaches don't really do that. And for them to do that just shows that it's beyond basketball. They don't just care about me as a player, but they care about me as a person. So I think the whole team values that. I definitely value that. Mm. And, I mean, that's what just makes us buy into what they're saying and buy into the game plans and give them all our trust and all our faith.
All right. Madison, Illinois to Houston, Texas to start your college career at Rice, and now to Tallahassee. Mm-hmm. First of all, from the Chicagoland, because Madison, I think, is what, south of Chicago? Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. So weather-wise, I think you've upgraded.
Oh. You think?
What do we need to know about Madison, Illinois, right? I mean, come on. That's not the – I know you're kind of in that Michiana area, if you will, Gary, Homewood, yeah. That area. But what do we need to know about Madison, Illinois, Malik?
Madison, Illinois. Quiet town. I mean, my homeland. I love it. The weather is just like how it is in Chicago. I mean, it can go from snowing one day to being super hot the next day. The people there are great. It's a great community. Everybody supports each other. I mean, I have a lot of people, friends, family, and just people who just see me walking down the street, text me now and just tell me how proud they are of me, how proud they are of me just representing Madison. And I mean, there are a lot of the reason why I'm persistent and I have the fight, because I know that Madison is such a quiet town, such a small town. So I just try to represent them. And, you know, when I see myself, I also see the people back home. So, I mean, it's a great place, great weather, great place to raise a family.
All right. Before we let you run, we do this with every student athlete. I know that
I think the word's gotten out. You asked this question.
But I just want to preface this in case word's not out, because we've had seven or eight Florida State basketball players on. Everybody's been great.
Yeah.
And I know you remember the 2019 Academic Honor Roll. Your hardest class at Florida State is what? Mm. Has been what?
Mm. My hardest class at Florida State, I would have to say Earth Science. Earth Science was quite a difficult class. I mean, it's just, you learn more and more about the Earth. I mean, just the layers of the Earth, what causes things, what causes erosions, all that other stuff. I mean, that class was definitely the most challenging, but I mean, thankfully, I'm at the Florida State where they take great pride in their student athletes and set us up with tutors, and the teachers there are also understanding, and they also know if a student's slipping, so they also come email you, help you, come to office hours, invite you to office hours and stuff like that. So, I mean, that was a tough class, but being here at Florida State, I mean, they made it an easy transition for me.
Tell you what. Wish you nothing but the best, man.
Earth Science.
First place Florida State Seminoles is what I'm talking about.
All right, Malik, good luck against Clemson on Saturday. We'll see you in Greensboro in a couple weeks.
All right, thank you guys for having me.
You bet. Malik Osborne, Florida State, won last night and didn't even play.
The every player we've had from Leonard's team, and we've had a bunch, they've been terrific.
Oh, yeah.
I keep talking about the program, right? This is not a team. This is a basketball program.
Yes, it is. No doubt.
Packer and Durham.
There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
So we go from first place Florida State. Life is good. Malik Osborne doing his thing.
Yep. Another big.
To another big that I'm surprised he's in, because I thought he'd be out in the quad still having a good time partying with everybody else in Winston-Salem, because the Deacs are fresh off of knocking off Duke last night. Double overtime. All right, man. Let's get right to it. When'd you get to bed?
Come on, Olivier. Shoot us straight. What time?
I think it was 4 a.m.
Whoa! All right, so, I mean, listen, I watched the game. The thing ended about 9:30, so what did we do from 9:30 to 4 a.m.? We watching tape?
I did watch tape.
Oh, okay. Watch the game again? Was that what we did?
Yeah, I watched the game again, yeah.
And so what did you see the second time?
I mean, great team energy, really. We played together. Great energy from the fans, from everybody. It was just a great game.
And we always talk about details, and I know you hear it from your coaches, right? About the little things turn into big things. Is last night the personification of little things, Olivier?
Yeah, I think we always talk about attention to detail. And, I mean, last night we executed, especially last minutes of the second half. It was right. really execution for us down the stretch, making stops, moving the ball, getting buckets, and it worked for us.
So you're down 9 with a buck 21 to go. At what point, Tom, did you feel, hey, you know what? We got them right where we want them.
I mean, I think nobody really got pressured at that time, because as a player, you can feel the pressure. You can feel nervous. But we really knew that. I mean, we always work on that after practice. I mean, at the end of practice, and that's stuff that we really put an importance on it, an emphasis, and we came down and really executed.
Brandon's shot obviously is huge, Olivier.
But the way
you guys handled overtime, I thought both overtimes showed a lot of poise. You know, kind of played within yourself. Didn't try and go too fast. Didn't try and do too much, it looked like, with each possession.
No. Yeah, that's true. I mean, you can see right now, everybody steps up. I mean, freshmen, we have OD coming up and getting great rebounds at some key moments. Ishmael too. I mean, and then you got Brandon making his shots. I mean, that's just what he do all the time, and we needed that from him.
When you take inventory of your season, I mean, there have been spikes in this year, which you guys have played really well, won some games. There's also been some issues and times where you just went, man, we're better than this. How would you define this Wake Forest basketball season?
It's a little bit, it's a tough season for us, because we were right there. Like you said, there's been a lot of games that I can think about right now. Like Louisville, we were up 12 or 16 at their place. They came back, especially late in the game. Second half, return of the second half, that we've been struggling early in the season and against Syracuse too. I mean, this game really for us gives us momentum for the last three games that we have going to the ACC tournament.
Yeah, I think that's the one thing too. And I mentioned earlier, I think you guys have kind of had details and things of that nature from time to time in this, Olivier, but your personal improvement from last year to this year has been remarkable. Coach Manning was telling me earlier this year that you made the commitment not only from a basketball perspective, but just from the way, you know, you worked out, the conditioning aspect, the lifting of weights, all those type things. Do you feel like you're getting some payoff now for the hard work you've put in?
Yeah. I mean, obviously, of course, number-wise, but I mean, even for the team, the leadership role that Coach Manning put me in and that my teammates helped me get in that role, it was really a important summer for me and for my team, for us. And, I mean, we have everything here to put in the work, and everybody's here to help us. So a lot of strength and conditioning with Coach Horn, and a lot of individual workouts throughout the during the season and in the summer. I mean, hard work pays off, that's what they say, and that's what we want to see as a team, as a player too, but that's improvement is really important for us.
Olivier, who's the toughest big man you face in the ACC?
That's a lot of guys. I mean, competition in the ACC, every night you play against tough bigs. I mean, I can think about Mooney, I can think about Carey last night. It's a lot of guys. I can't really pinpoint one guy.
It's interesting because you seem to also offer a tough assignment for them too. Your ability, both hands, you know, I mean, we just showed a clip there a moment ago where you scored right-handed from 9 feet, left-handed from about 8 or 9 feet. I mean, the improvement you've gone through, and some of this I'm sure you came to Wake with, but I mean, you're a handful, dude. I mean, it's going to be a night full of work for the guy that draws Olivier Saar. So you got to feel pretty good from a confidence perspective about where your game is going.
I mean, I do. Yeah. I mean, building confidence is something that was really important for me as a player, and putting in the work, but then seeing the work flourish and seeing that it applies and it works during games. That's something that was really a big step for me. I mean, obviously, it's really a work on my body because the skill set was kind of here already, even though we worked on a lot of footwork and deep position. Mm-hmm. But then the work that we did on my body was really the key for me.
All right. Now, I want to share something with you. My partner here on this show has one of the worst French accents.
I am offended by that.
In history. Okay?
I'm offended by that.
You're offended by that statement?
That is embarrassing that you would do that.
You should prove him wrong. You should prove him wrong.
You know what? Here's what I'm going to do. Olivia, this is how you say, does your dog bite in French? Ready? Does your dog bite?
I'm not sure about that one.
See, what did I just tell you? He's got one of the worst French accents ever.
Yeah, kind of. I hate to say it.
All right. Here's my question. Here's my question for you, Mr. Smart Guy from France. What's the hardest class you've had at Wake Forest?
Oh, no.
If you say French,
oh, definitely accounting.
Accounting.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That was just really laid out there in a heartbeat.
Well, you can relate.
It was really hard.
Yeah, I can relate. I can't count across the street.
Did you ever find a decent place for French food in Winston-Salem?
Not yet.
Yeah. How's that barbecue search going? Have they gotten you onto the barbecue thing yet?
Yeah, they did. Yeah. Okay. Worked out pretty well.
Yeah. How about Dewey's for a little eclair?
Been to Dewey's Bakery in Winston-Salem?
Yep. Yeah, I really like the sugar cake.
That's
my man right there.
You're on our team now.
I tell you what, you can rag my French, but you and I hang out together. I'll put 45 pounds on you before the ACC tournament.
Me too. Sounds good.
Olivier, congratulations. Keep up the good work. Notre Dame this weekend, so safe travels, and we'll see you in Greensboro.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Have a good one.
Olivier Sarr from Toulouse in France.
Au revoir.
Oh man,
because I'm going to Paris in a couple of months.
Are you?
Yes, I am.
Okay, that'd be great. Power Hour is on the way next, kids. Boy, this show's flown by the way.
Power Hour is a big deal now.
We are efforting Lewis Riddick from the NFL Combine to be a part of this show.
Well, we got some ACC folks up there doing their thing, getting ready to make some serious coin.
Some ACC people going to the microphone today, I think. And Pete D'Amore. Just continue.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.